Let the church say amen.
Amen.
And y'all sung like you really love the Lord. My goodness. It's wonderful when you have a tremendous song leader and you're singing like you really want to go to heaven.
All right.
To God be the glory for everything that has transpired up to and including this point. I do want to preface our Bible study by thanking your elders for the kind attention to come and to open God's word and to share that word with you. Now, I'm a shepherd myself, and I'm missing my congregation this morning because I'm sure that you are acutely aware that elders are going to give an account to God for the members of their flock. And I'm grateful that God opens doors for my wife and I to share his word and to make sure that we always speak a kind word for Jesus. But I just want to say to those who serve as shepherds here that I do know that it is, sometimes it's an arduous task. And it is one that must be taken very, very seriously. And so we appreciate so very much this invitation that has been extended to us, which means that you believe that we take God and his word seriously.
Amen.
Because we do. And that is why we are here this week. And as I told those of you during the Bible class hour, and if you weren't here during the Bible class hour, you can always repent. Amen. You can come next week because you have today's already gone. You know, some of y'all rolled in here like, hey, what's happening? You know, you're late, you know. But during the Bible class hour, I did say that our theme this week is Jesus makes life worth living. And he does. And we want to do everything within our power to honor him by obeying him and loving him and serving him to the very best of our ability. The passage of scripture that was read into your hearing so eloquently a few moments ago from John chapter 10 is really a jumping off place from whence I want to speak to you this morning, because I want to talk about the thrill of seeing Jesus. The thrill of seeing Jesus. If you're visiting with us this morning, we certainly want you to know that you are our honored guest. And you were not invited here to be insulted. Let's be clear on that. You were not invited here so that I could take the Bible and shove it down your throat sideways, because it never would fit. You have not been invited here to be called out and singled out and pointed at you and make you feel bad and all that, because the gospel is good news. But you were invited here because some of these members said, why don't you just come and sit under the word of God? And let's hear what the Bible has to say. And then you decide for yourself if you want to be a New Testament Christian. If you want to be a Christian that attends a church with a Bible address. Because if you do, then you're in the right place. But as I was saying a few moments ago, the thrill of seeing Jesus, you see in the religious world, every time I go somewhere, whether I'm going to Publix or whether I'm on my honey-do list to make my wife happy, speak to people, and the first thing they say is, oh yeah, I'm blessed. You know, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. You know, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And on it goes. And all the stained glass rhetoric that people will put in front of you. These people are talking about Jesus, but they've never seen Jesus. People talk about God, but they don't know who God is. We do all, and you know, I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Well, can you show me that in your Bible? You can't judge me. I'm not interested in judging you. You're talking, but your Bible is closed. And so today I want to introduce you to a person who is going to help you see Jesus like you've never seen him before. And at the conclusion of this message, when we're overeating our steak and lobster, because I know y'all got it fixed, you're going to come up and tell me, you know, Brother Davis, I just want you to know that I'm going to go back and I'm going to study that passage of scripture, because that was really good in my walk with the Christ. So I invite your attention to Luke chapter 19.
Luke chapter 19. You see, long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, the tree was already planted to meet his need. I should charge you extra for what I just said. See, because I know some of y'all weren't paying attention because you were turning. So I know once you get there, I'm going to say that again because that's an excellent point. Long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, the tree was already planted to meet his need. So in Luke chapter 19, and I really have to tell you, even though I'm not going to go back and read it, but you really have to go back to chapter 18 and verses 31 to 34 to really get the context of what is about to occur in chapter 19. Because Jesus was telling his disciples earlier, hey, look, I just want y'all to know that, you know, we're going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. I'm going to sacrifice myself. And I'm telling you this before it happens. And when you read that little snippet from chapter 18, it went right over their heads. But Jesus was trying to prepare them for the inevitable. And then you have this parenthetical expression that happens before we get to chapter 19 about blind Bartimaeus. And after Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus, at the end of chapter 18, blind Bartimaeus is praising God, and then he joins this throng that is making its way through Jericho. Don't miss that. When you read God's word, make sure that you soak in as much as possible. You make sure that you actually read it with an oriental mind, not an occidental mind, but an oriental mind. You put yourself right in the context so that you can smell the smells and you can rub shoulders with those people as they're now making their way to Jericho. And the greatest instance of seeing Jesus that you'll find in the gospel narratives. I'm in verse 1 of Luke chapter 19 where the Bible says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, I know you know this, but I just want you to know that I know it. That Jesus is now about 4 months from Calvary. And he has set his face because he knows where he's going. He knows what it's going to cost, and he is on his way. He's on his way to die, but he has to go through Jericho. Verse 2, and there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. You know, when you read in your Bible, the only time, the only instance that a person is characterized as a chief tax collector is this citation. It's not used anywhere else. So I'm telling you, this was the Don Corleone of the IRS. So don't miss that. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. Everybody that collected taxes from his own kinsmen reported to him. So this old boy had a relationship with the Romans. I'm sure he went and said, look, I've been thinking and I want to do you guys a favor. Why don't you let me go out into my own people and collect taxes? And I'm sure the Romans said, sound like a good idea to us. So this is how much we want you to get from each household. Well, he had that number, but you know, in his back pocket, he had his number too. Here, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. See? It's no wonder they called them publicans. It's no wonder that they could not stand them because they were fleecing their own people. And yet in this passage of scripture, my Bible teaches me that he was very rich. Verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. See, he was vertically challenged. And all in the world couldn't add one little inch to his height. So here he is, could probably snap his fingers, have any kind of meal brought before him, taken anywhere in the whole world, but there's a hole in this man's heart. Something is missing. And I know y'all have them here in Daytona, and I know we have them in Jacksonville. We have these gated communities. Have y'all seen those before?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if that's to keep people in or keep them. I'm not sure how that works. But I do know that if you live in a gated community, you got to pay for that gate. And the place that's right down the street from where we live, did you hear what I said? Right down the street from where we live? Those people pay $2,500 every year just for their gate fee. And there are some people in gated communities this morning who have holes in their hearts. They live in a gated community. They've got houses and boats and clothes and you name it, but something is missing. You know, last night, there were a lot of people that went out all over the city and they did all kinds of things, didn't they?
Yes.
But where were you this morning at 9:30? Many of you were right here. And you were here because you've decided that Jesus is worth it. That's why you're here. Jesus is worth honoring. He's worth obeying. I don't care what the weather was like. You still came through it. And I saw members out in the parking lot struggling with these umbrellas because I was struggling with mine. But still, you came on in here because the Holy But not Zacchaeus. I don't know how many people he had on his staff. I don't know how many people he had in his inner circle, but whatever the number was, they could not meet his need. My Bible tells me that he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus for who he was. And somebody says, well, Bill, why do you suppose he wanted to see Jesus? The Bible doesn't tell you. And sometimes that's where many people leave off. Sometimes we bring our friends to services and they get shaken to their core and say things like, you know, I really should have a Bible study, and that's where it ends. Or they get convicted and say, you know, I forgot that hell is just as real as heaven. You know, I need to straighten up. And 2 hours later, it's in the back of their mind. But not Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had it planted in his heart. I'm not sure from where, but I'm telling you, this man wanted to see who Jesus was. But he was short in stature. Now, I don't know if he had Napoleon complex or not, but I've run into people who've had this complex. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're saying, hey, look at me, look at me. I mean, it's I don't know what it is. But somehow or another, you got to remember, the crowd is coming through. This gaggle is coming through. Zacchaeus has got to put himself in a position so that he can see Jesus, because that's important to him. Look at the next verse. So he ran and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him. Now, let me tell you something. I was stationed in England, and I was told emphatically that gentlemen don't run. Bill, did you know that? I said, no, I didn't. I said, and can I ask you a question? Yes, what is it? I said, do you believe that God will run? What? I said, I'm speaking English. I ask you a question. Do you believe that God will run? Well, I never thought about that. I said, that's because you never read Luke 15. God. It's what that whole passage teaches. But you see, Zacchaeus put his feelings aside. Everything that had to deal with him from a sociological perspective, he put in the trash can, and the man ran. Don't you know people were making fun of him? Don't you know they were snickering, saying, look at Don Corleone running, you know. And there's a grown man getting up in a tree. What a concept, what a notion. If I had pulled in the parking lot this morning and saw Mark Tomlinson out there in a tree, I'd have to call the fire department. You know, because something would be wrong. I mean, we just instinctively think that here's a person who has lost their mind. But irrespective of what people thought, Zacchaeus put himself in a position so that he could see Jesus. And he knew that he was so short. Look like as opposed to seeing Jesus for himself. Did you get what I just said? You see, there are some people, maybe even under the sound of my voice today, you've never seen Jesus because you've been relying on what your preacher says Jesus looks like. You've been relying on what your mother says Jesus looks like or what your father says Jesus looks like. Let me tell you something. You better find out who Jesus is for yourself. I thank God. But there comes a time when you've got to stand flat-footed and say, I'm Christ, the Son of the living God. You've got to come to that conclusion of your own free will and volition. I have so much respect for Zacchaeus. Here is a man who could have bowed. He could have came. These people are making fun of me because I'm so short and I'm being bullied. It's not what my Bible says. That man was an opportunist. He knew that Jesus was coming. He knew that his opportunity was about to pass, and he saw. Now I want you to imagine for a moment about his physiological state. He just got through running. I don't know if he was out of breath or not. And I know that sycamore trees have low-hanging branches. But irrespective of how far he had to run or how high he had to climb, his heart was just pounding, 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 pounding. And then wondering in his heart of hearts, had he already missed the Christ? Was he in the best possible place to see Jesus? And I'm sure his heart was just about to jump. Because all and to see who Jesus was. Haven't you been there? Hasn't your life been so empty when you were in the world and you were out there in the world doing what folk in the world do until somebody came along and loved you enough and said, would you like to know who Jesus is? Can I show you the Bible how to become a Christian? Can we study together? I don't know the Bible where everything is found. And don't you remember that moment when it dawned on you how long? And you could thank God for the gospel because you could obey it. Because you were courageous enough to believe what you read and what you heard. I'm telling you, if we could have been a fly just buzzing around, just looking at Zacchaeus, I'm sure it must have been an incredible sight. I don't know what the man was wearing, but it was a sartorial outfit. I do know that. And here is a man dressed so nattily, but he ran. Because he wanted to see Jesus. Thank God that he did not allow anything or anyone to preclude him from seeing Jesus. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, I got to stop here. Let me tell you something. Here is Zacchaeus looking for Jesus. Here is Zacchaeus seeing all. And then all of a sudden the crowd stops. And Jesus looks up at him. Oh, don't you wish you could have seen that? You see, when you look for the Christ, let me tell you something, he's looking for you too. Those of you who are visiting today who don't share our religious conviction, let me tell you something. The second half of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 is crucial. It's not
that he will reward those who diligently seek him.
Amen. So you're in the right place.
The question is, are you strong enough this morning? Are you courageous enough this morning to give your life to the Christ? Because he's waiting. He's willing to save. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, he called his name. Don't you love that?
Yeah. Woo! Some of y'all look like you're baptized in vinegar and weaned on a sour pickle. Man, hey, you're the Don Corleone of IRS. You come right down here, because I'm going to talk to you about how you've been treating people. That's not bad. He called my name. Ooh, I love that. And the day that I became a Christian in Carmisel, Turkey, and was immersed, he said to me, welcome home, young man. I have plans for you. I have great plans for you. I have so many things planned for you, Bill, that if I were to tell you right now, your little head would just explode. But down the road, Bill, down the road, you're going to meet an elder by the name of Stephen Udu. And you're not even going to meet him in Daytona Beach. You're going to meet him in Tampa. And he will tell you that he is a shepherd from the Bevel Road Church of Christ. And one day he hopes that you will come and preach in Daytona Beach. And here I am. Amen. It's just another blessing from God Almighty. Jesus looked up and called the man by name. I think I'd have fell out of the tree. Right. I'm walking. He stops and looks up and he calls me. Wow. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. It's the only time I've read in the gospel narratives where Jesus invited himself to lunch. Jesus said, you come on home and we're going to eat because we need to talk. And the Bible says, and he heard and received him gladly. You know it. When they saw it. Okay, now here's your church folk. See, you got to get ready for them. Because you know they're going to be happy for him, right? When they saw it, they all love that word in the original language. It means to create the sound of buzzing bees. I know y'all don't know anything about people grumbling in the church. I know it's hard for y'all to grasp this notion. We're talking about people in Jacksonville, not here. He has gone. You don't even know what you're doing. That's what some Pharisaic people do, don't they?
Yes.
Jesus, if you really knew who that was, you'd come over here and stand with us. And then you'd take a rock and then you'd hit him upside the head. Because you don't know what he's been doing to us. And you know what I really like? Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus. Y'all didn't notice that. He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, you come on down. Everybody else was standing around. Jesus hadn't said a word to them, and they better be glad he didn't. Zacchaeus stopped and said, I lost my soul. Because I'd have stopped and told all of them. Let me tell all of them. But see, that's not what you do when you're under conviction. What you do is you continue to focus on the Christ. And this week, I've been praying that God would cause at least one person to not focus on family, to not focus on friends, but to focus on Jesus and obey him. And I don't care what nobody says. And if I have to go see your preacher, I'm ready. Because the Bible is right. And people that preach and pretend to belong to Christ need to stick with the word. Amen, lights and walls.
Amen.
Zacchaeus said to the Lord, "Behold, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." You can read your Old Testament from cover to cover, and you'll never find one commandment to give at this level. So why do you suppose Zacchaeus said that? The man was convicted to his soul. The man wanted to make absolutely certain that whatever would dissipate because he was talking to the Christ. The man had opened up his heart and told God, "If I haven't done right, I'll fix it. And if people can bring charges against me, they'll get four times the amount." Wow. What a statement. What a confession. And Jesus said to him, you know why I love this? Because the crowd didn't even get words from Jesus. All they did was complain about, "You don't even know who this is. And if you really knew who it was, you wouldn't do this, that, and the other." And Jesus didn't even give them the time of day. And sometimes that's what you have to do when you want to be saved. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus was on his way to the cross, but he stopped off in Jericho for one person. During this gospel meeting, Jesus will be passing by in Daytona Beach. Okay. And when you bring your friends here to sit under the sound of God's word, they will get an opportunity to say yes or no. If they can't make it to the building, then you tell me and I'll go with you to talk to them. I am as serious as I have ever been. Everybody deserves at least one opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, let me move very quickly to my application and we'll extend heaven's invitation. And I appreciate your kind attention, because I'm telling you, this message has blessed me over the years. It has blessed me in ways that I've never been blessed before, because it has helped me to get to a promontory point to see Jesus, which is the best way to see him, and that's from your own sycamore tree. You climb up and if you don't, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to end up fashioning who Jesus is predicated on somebody else, because you're too short to see. "Well, you know, Brother Davis, I know that's in the Bible, but my pastor told me that I was okay." You're not high enough. You got to get up in your own sycamore tree. And when you get up in your own sycamore tree, you open up God's word and you'll see Jesus for who he is. I thank God today for Zacchaeus, who knew that because he had a shortcoming, no pun intended, but he couldn't see, put himself in a position so that he could see Jesus for himself. Now, isn't that what you want?
Yes.
Well, when I'm studying with adults, whether it's Bible class or whatever, I don't want everybody doing my study for me. I've got my own Bible open, and I'm writing And when people come into the house of God,
there's something wrong with them.
This is not some kind of social club. This is not a country club. This is not, people weren't invited here to, well, you know, I just want to go down there and see what that old boy is talking about, you know. I'm going to see if he can really bring it. I'm not here to impress you. I'm not. I'm here. That's why I'm here. And from now until the time you leave, if you have family or friends who need to hear from Jesus, you need to let me know. Give me their name so my wife and I can pray for them while we're in the hotel. God is on his throne and he is no joke. Y'all hear me? You must have your own sycamore tree in order to get the best view of Jesus. Don't be more concerned about the crowd than you are about the Christ.
Amen.
Well, you know, you're going out there hanging out with them Church of Christ people, and you know all they do, they all they cults, and they the only one think they're going to heaven. Don't you trip with that. You let the crowd say whatever they want to say. You get your head in the Bible and you do what Jesus says.
Amen.
And let the chips fall where they may. But see, you got to be brave to do this. You got to have the courage. Then when you see Jesus and when he looks up at you and says, what are you going to do? You want to come to me or you want to hang out with the crowd? What do you want to do? You must see Jesus before you can share him. Our life either condemns or commends the gospel of Christ. And finally, if Christianity is worth having, it's worth sharing. I don't know what your situation is this morning, but I know what mine is. I not only need to get up in my sycamore tree, but as long as I am there, when I come down, I'm going to recruit for the Christ.
Amen.
And that's the point that I want to close with. I have prayed about what I'm about to say, and I hope that you will receive it in the same spirit in which it's given. We have these gospel meetings, and we come and we talk to ourselves. That's not a gospel meeting. Amen, lights.
Amen.
You have a gospel meeting because we are recruiting. That's why we have gospel meetings.
Yes.
Brother Daugherty knows back in the day, I mean back in the 50s and 60s, the Churches of Christ was the fastest growing religious institution on the world. And when somebody, they knew it was us. But now we're so busy. We got to take Muffy to piano practice, and we got to take John to soccer practice, and then we got to take Maybelle to whatever else is left. Jesus has taken a back seat. And we're so busy, we don't even bring our Bibles to the assembly anymore. And then we wonder why our children are falling away from the Christ. It's because they're looking at us. That's why. I asked my son before he left our house, started his own family. I said, Ben, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, Dad, you're going to ask me anyway. I said, do you think that Jesus is the Lord of my life? And I just, you know how you get all, you know, sanctimonious and, you know, self-righteous, and I'm just waiting for the answer. And he said, no. I said, well, where are you going to sleep tonight? He said, Dad, don't ask me if you don't want to know. See, I raised that boy right. I said, well, Ben, who is my Lord? He said, Dad, you take two briefcases to work. When Mom calls you, you don't even come home for dinner. You better.
And Jesus knows where they're at, Dad. So now, you know that changed me. After I got through beating that boy, no, I did not. Really. You really want to know the truth? Go home and ask your kids. And somebody says, well, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have kids. Ask your wife. She'll tell you. We put our wives through all kinds of junk.
Amen.
And they love us anyway. But I would just tell you this morning with a heart of love and sincerity, you have put this program together to recruit people who are looking for the Christ. And that's what me and my wife want to help you do this week. We have not come here to try to be cute. We have not come here just to sit around and say, oh, Daytona, you know, where are we going to go to sightsee? We didn't come here to sightsee. We came here to what? We came here to hold up the Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't share our religious conviction, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Maybe this is the first time you've ever been in an assembly of churches of Christ and you're looking around saying, y'all so cheap, y'all ain't got a piano up in here. Y'all ain't got, where's the drums and where's the people flying across in white rays? And, you know, where's the party at? Well, if you want entertainment, you're going to have to go to the circus. Because it's not in here. And we are quiet and we're reverent. People are reading. And because people are reflecting on what God's word has to say. That's why it's so quiet here, because we know that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. But then, after you've heard, do you have the courage to believe what you've heard? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, I've already cited that passage. If you want to see God's face in peace, you must believe in his reality. You must believe that God is who he says he is. And of those that diligently seek him. Isn't it wonderful when our children look at us and say, my daddy seeks God. My mother seeks God. Even when my mom is sick, she still seeks God, because she takes care of everybody in the house and she makes sure that we're where we're supposed to be. That's the only way our children are going to stay faithful, brothers and sisters. They have to see us committed to the Christ. Would you then be willing to repent of your sin? Well, there's a novel notion for you. When I was in the academy and students would come see me, I mean, they were already in my office, so I may as well just ask them a question while they were there. I said, can I ask you a question? Oh, yeah, you can ask me, Dean. What is it? I said, do you know what sin is? Well, what book is that found in? They don't know. Oh, I mean sin, S-I-N. Do you know what that is? But you finna start preaching? I said, no, I'm just asking. No, Dean, I don't think I do. 24, 25, 26-year-olds who don't know what sin is. And then we wonder why the illegitimate birth rate is what it is in this country. We wonder why the level of incivility is what it is in this country. We don't know what sin is. We've broken God's heart. We've transgressed his word. We've transgressed his will. Amen. And when a person comes to that realization, they repent. They say, you know what? I've been lying. I'm going to stop lying. I've been trying to impregnate every girl on campus. I'm going to stop. I've been cutting corners on my job and stealing from my boss. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to turn my face toward God. Luke chapter 13 at verse 3. Acts chapter 17 at verse 30. And then we're ready to confess that Jesus is Lord. With our mouth. That's why I talked about the tongue this morning. We're ready to confess that Jesus is Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, Bill, I'll make a deal with you. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But Bill, if you get down there and start thinking you all that in a bag of chips, and people tell you that you can preach a little bit and you start pounding on your little bird chest like it's all. And when you need confession before my Father is in heaven, I'm not even going to know who you are. Because you was down there telling people how wonderful you thought you were. Are you courageous enough this morning to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Because if you are, then and only then are you a candidate for baptism. In Jacksonville, one of the largest Baptist churches is right across the street from our building. And I used to go over their building, just walk around, look. Right above their baptistry, they've got a sign that says, "Those who are buried in Christ are new creatures." Now I asked the guy, I said, why you got that sign there? Because y'all don't even believe that. He said, "We got that up there because this is our building and this is our sign." I said, "That very well may be, but that's not what you teach." He said, "Pastor, have a good day." And that meant for me to hit the road, hit the bricks. Yeah, we have some people who think that they'll go to heaven dry clean, no water. You'll never see God's face in peace until you pass through the water.
Amen.
Because that's what you do with dead people. You bet. Yeah. In the water. Everything goes down in the water. And when you come up with a new attitude and a new focus and a new dimension and a new destiny. And so when people tell me, "Well, you know, Dr. Davis, I don't think baptism is essential for salvation." And I just tell them, it's not your call. First of all, it's not your heaven. And you don't even know how to get there. Jesus is the one who knows how to get there, and he is the one who said in Mark 16, 15, and 16, "He that believeth," and Jesus says, so you can get in line somewhere else.
Amen.
Well, that's not what my pastor teaches. Well, then you better go back and show that passage to your pastor. Because I'm going to stand on the word of God, whether people like it or not. We're going to have to stick with the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. But y'all know this message has been for us. Those who have already obeyed the gospel. Those who are already set on their way to heaven. You know this message has been for you because some of us have not been up in our sycamore trees. We've been out in our RVs and in our man caves and doing all kinds of stuff other than studying the Word of God and preparing our minds and our hearts for heaven. When was the last time you had a family devotional and you just asked everybody in your own circle, what's your plan to get there? Have you talked to your children? When somebody says, "My children grown and gone." I don't care. When they need money, they sure ain't going. "Hey, Dad, how's everything going?" How much money you want, boy? They can reach out to us. We need to be reaching out to them about spiritual concerns.
Amen.
And now that my wife and I are grandparents, I'm sure enough involved. You hear me?
Amen.
I preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and Ben and Marissa and Maximus came down, and my wife said, "Honey, you should have heard Maximus singing 'Jesus Loves Me' all the way to the building." Hope that God will let me live to see him become a Christian.
Amen.
I hope because he'll say, "Granddad," because we now have three that can continue to preach and teach that Jesus is Lord. What's your situation today? I know what mine is. I need the Christ. And I don't care. If I need to respond, I'm going to respond to him. But you know what's happened to us? We've just gotten so sedity. We've just gotten so detached. Nothing touches us anymore. Some of you are sitting there looking at your watch right now. Would you please hurry up so I can go get me some beans and cornbread? Would you please hurry up? Because that's what's happened to our minds. But yet people can watch a football game in sub-zero weather and not even move for 3 hours. Packer fans. They won't move a muscle. And God's people, if a guy preaches more than 30 minutes, they want to fire the preacher. May God help us. I didn't mean to get off on that, but I'm just telling you. I'm begging you to come to the Christ today. I beg you to look at your life, and I'll look at mine, to make sure that even when you hear Jesus, it thrills your soul.
Amen.
Because you're living for him. And your children will tell you, Mom, I know you all in. Dad, and thank you for the example that you're setting for me. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, and we all are, I beg you with a heart of love and sincerity to come to the Christ while together we stand and sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus.